For our reading this morning, I would like to read out of the book of St. Matthew, chapter 2, pertaining to the story of our Lord and Savior. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and will not be comforted because they are not." But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." May God bless the reading of the word. Let us bow before him in prayer. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, it is unto thee we look this morning for a blessing. We call upon thee, Lord, that by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we might be inspired by the reading of the Word. These words being preserved on through the ages for us to recall the time in which our Lord was born. And even as a young child, he was sought after. There were wise men that came and to worship. And so we find ourselves necessary this morning to come and worship the living Savior that was born in a manger. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity because we have the freedoms in our country where we can worship the way we so desire and when we so desire, without any opposition, without any government interference, or any other way that we would be deterred. But so we thank you, Father, that we have a free government that we can come and quietly here worship thee, the true and living God, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're mindful of those, Father, that are unable to come for various reasons, and even for those, Father, this morning that have chosen not to come for various reasons. So we pray, Father, be with each one that would call upon thee in this day. As they depend upon thee, we all trust in thee, we love thee, and we want to serve thee in the best of our abilities. So we thank you, Father, that you provide all the things that we need. Whether it be physical or spiritual, we depend upon thee to guide and to direct us. Even as we read of the star that guided the men, the wise men, to follow the star, that we too can follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So now we pray, Father, bless the words of truth and life as we call upon thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read in the book of Matthew, it's just a little different account of the way the Lord was brought into this earth. And so, as opposed to the one that the Apostle Luke writes, not that it's any different, not that it's contradictory, as some may seem to think it is, but it's just a different point of view in how he was brought into this world. And as we see here, that it talks about the King Herod, which was a king at that time. He ruled, but they claimed that he was a very vicious man, and they claimed he was a bloodthirsty man, based on what they read in the scriptures. And because he was this type of a person, as these here wise men came, as they followed the star into Jerusalem, they knew that there was something about this. And I find it interesting that these wise men knew about this star, and they knew that there was something going on. What they knew was that he was born to be king of the Jews. And the scriptures don't reveal that how exactly they understood that and knew that, but it doesn't matter because they came, and the point being that they came from afar, and when they began to inquire where he was born, of course, Herod finding this out, and then he had to assemble them together and told them that he wanted also to find out where this young child was that he could come and worship. And of course, we know the story that he wasn't one bit interested in worshiping the Christ. He was interested in doing away with him. And so in that point of view, we see and understand that even as a babe, already Satan was already trying to do away with this Son of God. Satan knew well who he was. And Satan was filled the heart of Herod, and Herod was bound to get rid of him. He wanted nothing to do with Christ, especially if he heard and knew and thought that he's going to be king of the Jews. And so we can see how he would become concerned and worried. That's why he said he was troubled and all of Jerusalem with him. And so there Satan already started to point out, try to get rid of, and of course we see how the Lord led. And of course this again was prophesied as we read in the verse 5 and 6, it says, and they said unto them, well, they brought all the priests and the scribes together, and one, he wouldn't know where he's going to be born. He had to find this out. And of course, they were familiar. It says, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel. So they, scribes and Pharisees, were familiar with the scriptures. They knew what this was all about. And so they knew he was to be born in Bethlehem. And we understand that Bethlehem was one of the lower cities, one of the a part of the tribe of Benjamin, which was, again, one of the lower, of the children of Israel. He wasn't like, of course, like Judah and some of the others were a little more familiar, but Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, it was a lowly place, and Bethlehem being a part of this in the land of Judah. And so this is then God's plan for his son to be born. He didn't want him born into some exclusive place. He didn't want him born as a king and to be crowned and all of that, the likes of that. No, he was born as a babe, even as we read in Luke, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. So this gives us an idea of the lowliness and the humbleness that our Savior came into this world as such. And that's what this here indicates to us in these few verses that we read here. And so, of course, we see that when the wise men learned and they was called in by Herod to find out where this baby was at, they went to find it. And, of course, it says the star then led them to Bethlehem where he was. And they there they found the babe. And they it says here then they... And they said that, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And again, I find it interesting that these men, they were astrologers, they were wise men. We read about wise men in the other parts of Scripture. They were familiar with the skies, with the stars, and when they saw this star, they evidently knew something about this Christ that was going to be born. They knew that they should worship him. And so they come, as it says, they come from afar, from the far east. It's not sure where exactly that is, but it doesn't matter. They traveled a long ways to find this babe. And when they found him, it says, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, of course, being precious, a thing that was necessary and needful to everyone that needed. You need a monetary system. And it was believed scholars believed that this was given to him to perhaps help finance him as he was moving around, as he had to pay taxes and so forth. And then the frankincense, of course, is a sweet-smelling odor that they used for even in worship services. It was they extracted this from trees, and they used it to bring a very sweet-smelling odor to, and it was very expensive. It was an expensive ointment. And then, of course, the myrrh is something they used in the burial of Christ. So all of these three gifts, as we see here, have some significance to the Lord, our Savior, and how he was born and how he came into existence. And so they brought these gifts to worship him and to honor him. And then, of course, it says they, being warned in a dream, they departed in a different way. And when they, it says, when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the child, young child, to destroy him. So God warned Joseph. And one thing with with this warning of with Joseph, we see that he was familiar with dreams. He was familiar with this way of communications, if you will. He was warned when he was espoused to marry his wife, and he thought about putting her away privately, but no, he didn't, because the dream, and it came to him in a dream that he should not do this. He should take her as a wife, that the baby that she was carrying was of the Holy Spirit. And so he was familiar with dreams and being led of God. And so here he is again, led of the Lord. God told him, take the young child and flee to Egypt. And of course, this again is another prophecy fulfilled. One thing about when Matthew writes, he writes concerning the prophecies. Because of being a Jewish man and he knew the prophecies, he always brought, incorporated them into his writings. And this is one of them, because he says that, and there was an, and then, and when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So you see, and we can read that. It's found in Hosea, where it talks about God calling his son out of Egypt. And this is then the fulfillment of that prophecy. And so, of course, then we get into this story with Herod. As he saw, as he says, he was mocked by the wise men, he became very, very angry, wroth, it says, and exceeding wroth. And so his only recourse was to kill all the children in Bethlehem from 2 years and under. And that was that had to be a very, very sad occasion for our Lord to come into this world and have to hear about something like this. And so, but Herod, he was, that's, and I believe this is why he was recognized as a cruel, very cruel king, ruthless, bloodthirsty, if you will. And to be sure that he could get rid of this, he was sure that he, if he kills all the children from 2 years and under, from the time that this, he was first noticed and first found out about this, he did away with them all. And that's, what, again, another fulfillment of prophecies is, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. And we can read that also, that this was all predicted, this was all prophesied beforehand. And now here it come to pass that he had taken the lives of all these young, and little did he know that Christ was not even there. This newborn babe that he was out to get wasn't even there. And but he, being not a man of God at all, had no clue. And so he figured he's going to get rid of everybody, and that sad story. But then it says, when Herod was dead, the angel, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And it says, he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go thither, and notwithstanding, being warned of God again, it says, in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And then that's where you see here that he dwelt in the land of called Nazareth, where he grew up as a young child, as a babe. His father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and he learned the carpentry trade. Exactly what that was, it's not recorded well, but this is where he resided. And so that's why he was called then a Nazarene. And as we can relate to that Nazarene, because we have our own church, the Apostolic Christian Church of the Nazarene. And so this is where we're named, because he was called a Nazarene. We are his followers, we are his children, we are his brother. And so we're called the Nazarenes. Very appropriate. And so this is where this all came. This is how this all came about. The story was, as it unfolded, as the Matthew wrote and writes about it, we can see that this is a very true story to us, and it's very encouraging to us because of the way he came into this world. And even when Christ was raised and grew up, we read in Luke that as he grew and was he became obedient to his parents, and then later on was baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was like a dove, it says. And this was to prove that this, yes, was in fact the Christ. This was the Savior that take away the sins of the world. Even when we read in Luke where Simeon and Anna, the prophetess and prophet, recognized this here was the Son of God. This is the one that came. He's the one that will save his people from their sins. And of course, it's the story of redemption. It's the story that you and I believe, have faith in, trust in, that this is what we have as our faith. Our faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It simply recorded as to how he was born, how he lived, how he was raised, so that we got some idea. He was a man. He was not, you know, sometimes we look at him as the Son of God, and he was able to do things that no one else could do. That was true. But he was still had flesh and blood. He still, if you was to pinch him, he would know. I mean, He was a man, and we can't discard that. But God sent him down to be a man so that we would understand the plan of salvation. You know, it'd be easy for us to say, if we didn't have the Lord and Savior, we didn't have his examples, we didn't have him to follow and to learn from, we could simply say, God doesn't understand us. He's a God. He created the world, and he doesn't know what we go through. He does know what we go through because he sent his son, and his son was God himself. That's why it says there he was called Emmanuel, which means God among us. And so this is why he was sent for us, for our understanding. And so how do we understand this? There are some things that we can't understand. But we simply take it in faith. And that's what this is all about. To believe this story and all that took place here, we have to have a faith. We have to have the faith in the living God that this is how he did it and why he did it. And the more we read and understand about his word and understand him, his characteristics, we learn more and more what it means to be Christian-like, to be Christ-like, to live the way our Savior, Jesus Christ, did. And so he set that example. We can see probably the only difference is he was able to heal people, sicknesses and blind and so forth. We hadn't been able to do that kind of thing. But certainly we have the faith to believe, to trust in him, and that one day he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's not coming back as this lowly babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. We know that. He's going to come with power and with might and with his host of angels. We can read in the book of Revelations, when he comes again, he's going to reap, as it says. He's going to reap those that are ready. Take them with him. And those that are not ready, will be reaped and go into eternal condemnation. And so we see in this plan of salvation is nothing more than people preparing themselves for a prepared place. That's what the plan of redemption is all about. That's what salvation is all about. And we begin that by believing what we read and what we understand, believing it, trusting that it's the truth, and that all this took place. It's hard for us probably to imagine that there are people that don't believe this. But there are. There are people here that don't even believe in the Son of Jesus Christ as our Savior. They just believe that he existed and he came and he was just a good man. There's cults, there's religions that believe and preach this. And they don't celebrate like we're having a Christmas today. Absolutely not. Well, nothing to do with it because they don't believe it. You know, I'm talking people that are just like you and I. You see them, you don't see no difference. In fact, a lot of them I've known through the years are very nice people, they're good people. Quite willing to help you. They're quite willing to work and do whatever they need to do, but simply do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sad. You think that in a country which we live, and it's on the airwaves, it's on the TV, it's everywhere, all about Christianity, how Christ came and lived and so forth. Yet people won't accept it as the gospel message. So it's important for us to realize, to know and understand this portion of Scripture, how he came, they tried to do away with him like Herod did. For us to believe that, trust in the Word, because it is God's Word. And so we have that faith and trust, and that we have to also believe he'll keep us. He promised he would never leave us nor forsake us. So as we live our lives and we serve him and we try our best to do what is right and so forth, all this is going to have a culmination when he comes back again. Because you see, we're going to be held accountable but for our actions. We're going to be held accountable for all the things that we say and do. Even our very thoughts are going to be accountable. And so is it not then more important for us to understand this, to believe it, and to trust in this word? Yes, very much so. And as sure as I'm standing here and you see me, that's how sure he is coming back. We believe that. We trust in his word. We know that it's going to happen. The thing that we don't know is when. But what we do know is we need to be ready. That much we know. And that's why he taught us time and time again, watch and pray, watch and pray. And what that does for us is increases our faith in God, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we learn as we day by day go through and experience different things in our lives. We experience, yes, very true. The word is very true. And so thanks be to God. It's a plain, simple life. Way he was born, very plain and simple. That's the way we need to live our lives. Simply in a faith. Maybe we're not so knowledgeable of the Bible and we don't have the theology that we think we need. You don't need that. You don't need that to save your soul. What you need to do is believe what we just read, and believe that he was the Lord. He is the Lord of lords and the Lord of our lives. That we need to believe. And so when we trust in him, we learn to understand all of these things about our Lord and Savior, that we can be ready when he comes back to take us all home. That we look forward to. And so let us pray, let us be faithful to him as long as he gives us life and breath. It's that important because, like I say, we are all going to give an account of our lives. And when he comes back and takes us home, We will stand before the judgment seat, and we will know all the things. It's all written down. So thanks be to God that we have His Word. We know what we need to do. It's just a matter of, are we doing it? Are we going to do it? So again, like it's often said, the choice is ours. May God bless these few words upon our hearts. And I'd like to ask one of the brothers to find a hymn, and then perhaps some of the young fellows could go and get the song books, either the junior hymnals or the red books, and then we could sing out of some of them songs. And ask one of the brothers to come up and lead.